Can y'all hear me? Am I on? All right, good deal. First of all, as we get into the lesson today, ask you guys to remember Lindy Bartlett in your prayers. Lindy has pneumonia and the flu. And so he, from what I understand, he is contagious, so you may not want to go see him. But hopefully in a few days he'll be back. So just keep his family also in your prayers as well. As you know, us guys aren't the best of patients sometimes. This morning we're talking about conversations. Been in a series talking about conversations. And I was thinking this week about all the different conversations that we have. And, you know, things have changed quite a bit since Lisa and I were teenagers. Some of you guys don't know what it was like to be a teenager and actually have to use paper and pencil to write notes. Would y'all believe we actually wrote notes on pieces of paper? And now you got Snapchat, and you got text messaging, you got all of these different ways, email, you got all these different ways, Facebook Messenger, to have instant conversations, and we actually had to take the time to write notes. Mostly it was me writing the note like, do you like me? Yes, no, maybe. Click the box. To which she always said, of course, yes. But we're talking about conversations, and over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at two different conversations that we all go through almost on a daily basis. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the conversation from our enemy to us, and how, you know, we have this conversation with our enemy, and a lot of times he brings up things that have been said to us, or things that we've done, or things that were done to us, and he tells us lies. And what we want to remember is that if it comes from Satan, we can't trust it, because he's what? He's the father of lies. And when he speaks, when he tells lies, Scripture says he's speaking his native language. When he tells lies, that is his native language, and he's really good at it. And it doesn't even have to be an out-and-out blatant lie. It can just be a little simple mistruth, a little twisting of the truth. And we have to deal with that conversation as long as we're human. Last week, Paul shared with us the conversation that we have with ourselves, the things that we tell ourselves. And one of the things that he made the statement about that I thought was really good is he talked about how the past is always with us in the present. And unlike what Paul the Apostle said, Paul, you remember what Paul said about the past? He said, forgetting what is past and looking towards what is coming, I press on. And so we have those conversations also that seem to derail us, they seem to distract us, they seem to keep us from having such the good focus that we need to have. That conversation with our enemy and the conversation with ourselves. Today, we're going to talk about the most important conversation of all. And it's a conversation we have with our Father. It's a conversation that we have with God. And one of the statements that Paul made last week, and I jotted it down because I thought, man, this could really change our lives if we can understand this. And the statement goes like this. He said, understanding God's place in your story can make all the difference in the world. Understanding God's place in your story can make all the difference in the world. And immediately my mind went to a guy in the Old Testament, and we're not going to turn there and read it, but I'm going to sum the story up pretty quickly for you. It's a story you've all heard. It's from 1 Kings chapter 19. And there's this prophet named Elijah who is, I mean, he's like a super prophet. He's got staying power that we all wish that we could have walking the Christian walk. He had staying power, and he had arrayed himself against this worthless king of Israel by the name of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. And they had met up on this mountain, Mount Carmel, and they had had this basically a showdown between God and between the false god Baal. And of course, God was with Elijah every step of the way. But Elijah forgot that God was in his story and that God had been in his story all that day. And the scene that I want us to call our mind, remind us of, is the scene where Elijah becomes afraid. He forgets that God's been in his story and God's been the power behind all the success of that day. And he runs. He runs. He is afraid. And he finds himself in a cave. And God finally comes to him and says, "You go stand out there. I'm going to come. I'm going to come by." And so Elijah goes out there waiting to hear the voice of God, finally. And there's this great wind. And the text tells us that God's voice was not in the wind. And then there was a fire. And the text tells us God's voice was not in the fire. And then there was an earthquake. And the text tells us, and God's voice was not in the earthquake. But then, finally hears the voice of God as what? A gentle whisper. You see, he forgot that God had a place in his story. And I think God brought those three big things, the wind, the fire, and the earthquake, and then comes about with a voice as a gentle whisper to remind him and to remind us, to teach us that we must be listening for the voice of God. We must be listening for the voice of God because they will not always be in the fire, the wind, or the earthquake. They will not always be in the big success. They will not always be in the incredible experience. They will not always be on the mountaintop. Maybe most of the time, God's voice will be a gentle whisper. And so, if we aren't listening, if we aren't believing, if we aren't actively trying to hear the voice of God, we will be at the mercy of all the distractions in our world. And y'all, whether you realize it or not, the way God made us, our brains are the most incredible antennas. And without even thinking about it, it's just automatic. Through all the different senses, the sense of touch and taste and smell and hearing and all of the senses that we have, sight, we are taking in literally billions of messages through across all of those senses every single day. But we can only choose to actively participate in focusing on a few of those. And if we aren't listening for God, then we are at the mercy of all of those other voices that distract us. So, y'all hold your Bible up. If it's a phone, hold your phone up. All right? That's the world we live in right now, right? You may have a big Bible, but I got about 18 Bibles on that little box right there. So this is we have the Word of God, right? Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe what Jesus would say in Scripture? How many of y'all believe? I'm not asking you if you believe in Jesus. I'm asking you if you believe Jesus. Raise your hand. Do you believe Jesus? Some of the passages that really come to mind when I think about Jesus and whether I believe that Jesus is who He says He is and that He doesn't lie. And Scripture tells us it's impossible for God to lie, right? But I think about the I am statements in the book of John, the Gospel of John. And Jesus makes some statements about himself. He says, I am the bread of life. I am living water. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many of y'all believe that Jesus is not lying when he makes those statements? Do you believe that Jesus is all of those things? Raise your hand if you believe that. All right, so here's a question that I want to ask you this morning as we really get into this concept of having this conversation with God. Would Jesus lie about what he says about you? Now, I just tricked you, okay? because a lot of us don't believe the things that Jesus says about us. But we just said that we believe the things that he said about himself. All right, if God really is God, if Jesus really is the Son of God, God in the flesh, and he won't lie, would Jesus tell a lie about you? In Scripture, tons of what we might call affirmations or messages or statements from God to us, about us. One of the most amazing ones to me, because I'm a father and I kind of get it, you know, I kind of understand, is when God portrays himself as a father. And he says all of these magnificent things about God being our Father. In just a second, Matt is going to lead the praise team in the song. We've been singing it for about the last, I don't know, it seems like the last couple of months we've sang it a time or two. And it's a song that if you listen to the radio, contemporary Christian station, you know the Chris Tomlin song, Good, Good Father. And there's lots of messages in that song about God as our Father. And as they sing, if you want to sing along, feel free to. However, if you want to just sit back and think and meditate on the words of that song, I want to encourage you to do that. What we want you to do is take that bulletin that you got, and on the front of it, the notes section, and as you look at the words, sing the words, hear the words, I want you to write down a couple of messages, a couple of statements about how God might feel about you. And as we think about those statements, I want you to consider what might change in your life if those things were true. If God really can be trusted, if those things that God says about you are really true. And then after the song, Paul is going to come and he's going to share some practical ways that we can have this conversation with God and come out the better for it. Matt?
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love, love, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, to
thank you for singing that. I know it's not something that our praise team normally does, is to sing alone, and I appreciate the difficulty of doing something like that and the time and preparation that you put into it. I hope you were able to identify some phrases or statements in that song that are meaningful to you. So I got to cheat a little bit. You guys didn't know that exercise was coming, but I knew that it was coming, so I went ahead and printed out the lyrics to the song and just kind of underlined a few statements. And I'm going to share with you the statements that I underlined. You tell me that you're pleased. You tell me that you're pleased. And I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. I'm loved by you, and that's who I am. That's my identity. I am loved by you, and that's who I am. There are answers that only you provide. You know just what I need. You call me deeper still into love. You call me deeper still into love. We'll take a few minutes to look at some scripture. And in just a little bit, I'm going to ask you if you're comfortable. By no means do I want to coerce anybody, but to repeat a few statements that I have. And then there are some scriptures that I will read out loud below it, because I want those who maybe are listening to this in a recording to be able to hear what the scriptures say. They'll be up on the screen and you'll be able to read those, but I'm going to read those out loud after we repeat these phrases. As Billy was talking about the noise in our lives and us having an antenna and all this information that we were receiving, I couldn't help but think about a time when I was in college, around 20, 21 years of age, and I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, and if you know anything about Nashville, you know Nashville is completely full of music. You can run into a country music singer or some kind of musician basically by flipping over a rock. It's like, boom, I found a drum set, or boom, there's a musician. I ran into famous musicians quite often when I was in high school and when I was in college growing up there. But like every good story in America, this one starts off with, there was a girl. So there was a girl who was going to this concert in the small little club downtown Nashville. I found out she was going, and I thought maybe I'll be able to run into her. So I buy a ticket, and I go down, and I hear the music playing. I find her, and we talk for a few minutes, and we don't hit it off. That way you know it's not Sarah, all right? We don't hit it off. And so after a few minutes, I was like, this is not working. And I kind of mingle around and listen to the music and hang out. And they play until the wee hours of the morning. And I leave and I get in my car to go home. When I got into my car to go home, in my ears was just this high-pitched, almost like a billion mosquitoes had found a home inside my brain. And I thought, I have destroyed my hearing. It was so loud. All the venues in Nashville, well, not all of them, but many of them are very small. And the music is cranked way up loud. So I'd spent several hours in this environment not knowing how much damage I was doing to my hearing until I got into a quiet space. And I'm not kidding, guys. It was a roar inside my ears. Just this huge, huge, high-pitched buzz. And I thought, that's it. I'm going to be deaf. I woke up the next morning and it was still going strong. And as Billy talked about that, I thought, you know what? That hearing damage is a lot like the hearing damage that many of us have today due to all the noise that surrounds us in our lives. We're hearing so many voices making false promises to us that it becomes difficult for us to hear the true promises of God and to believe that they are actually true. And that's not the only noise that exists in our lives. I was listening to a podcast a couple of days ago called The Art of Manliness. Now you know how I do it, right? This is how I pull off my manliness. I listen to podcasts. And a man named Eric Craig was being interviewed. He is the first man to walk solo to the North Pole, to the South Pole, and up Mount Everest. It's called the Three Poles. He's the first man to do that in complete solitude. And what he said was this. He said that, I thought I would go crazy, but pretty soon in that silence, I began seeing the cracks in the glaciers as I walked by, and the subtle colors became more real to me. And I began to notice that I was seeing and experiencing things that I never would have been able to know even existed had that noise not been reduced and completely silenced in my life. And I think about that when I think about how much we are bombarded by our devices each and every day, because it's not just audible noise that exists in our lives, it's digital noise. You've experienced this at home, right, or at a restaurant. You're trying to talk to a friend or a loved one or a date, and they're glued to their phone. Football season's about to start, so many of us will be glued to our fantasy football rosters. Some of you will be in church, setting your roster, not listening to Billy or me or Lindy or anybody else who speaks, trying to make sure you get that all-important thing taken care of. There's digital noise in our lives, and that noise is just as deafening as real noise in our lives. And what I want to challenge all of us to do today is to quiet down. When Billy shared that story of Elijah and God speaking in a whisper, I think about the way that we speak to our children. None of us, who in here wants to yell at their child? Anybody? Like, Cameron, you have a child? This is news. I don't want to yell at my children. I don't think any of us wake up going, I can't wait to scream at my two-year-old. That's going to make my day. We want to be heard, though, don't we? So when faced with a digital challenge, we have a couple of choices. We can take the device, right? Or we can get louder than the device. We can yell. We can raise our voice. God does not raise His voice. God is more respectable than we are. He's not a father that raises His voice over the noise in our lives. He's a Father in which, if we want to hear, we have to reduce the amount of noise that exists in our lives. And so while we reduce that noise, I want us to look at a few of the affirmations, a few of the promises, a few of the statements about us that God makes. And so I'm going to, I'm going to read these aloud, and then I'd like for you to repeat them, and don't worry about repeating the verse, okay? All right? So no one is perfect, and that levels the playing field. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I got ahead of myself. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. I'm fully known by God and need to hold nothing back from Him. Before a word is on my tongue, You, Lord, know it completely. Psalm 139 and verse 4. I am the most precious of God's creation. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. That is not Psalm 139, verse 4. I believe that is Luke, and Jesus is speaking to His disciples, and so I have forgotten that reference, and I apologize. I am a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I am created in the image of God. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him and made male and female. He created them. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. God is transforming me into who He wants me to be. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. God has chosen to dwell within me. Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. God will not forsake me. God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. I am the light of the world and must live accordingly. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. He has given me a purpose. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making His appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 30. Think about the story of the prodigal son. And I don't know which one of those statements or ones of those statements you latched on to personally. But I think about the story of the prodigal son and all the messages that were going on in his head as he was looking to return home to his father to be the slave. And the father runs up and he embraces him. And the message that the son hears is, you are still my son. You are still my child. And I think at that point, fatherhood probably for the first time ever became real to the prodigal son. Because here is something that you need to realize. What's true does not matter until what's true becomes real. What's true doesn't matter at all until it becomes real. And you might sit back and think, no. What's true always matters. No, it doesn't. Not on earth. It only matters when it becomes real. I think about an art exhibit in France. This guy has developed this pigment, this paint, that absorbs every single bit of light. He's got it copyrighted, and nobody else can make this paint but him. But he went into an art gallery, and he drew a circle on the floor, and he had some guys come in with jackhammers, and they dug down 8 feet into the ground. He cemented it all around, and he painted that whole area with that black paint, and there is no light hitting it. So what it looks like is just a black circle was laid down on the floor. And so they've roped it off, and they've got guards standing around it, and they won't let people get too close to it. They want them to see it because he wants people to contemplate the vastness of space and emptiness. And what this man did is he walked up to it. Somehow he got past the guard and just whoop, down 8 feet onto the ground, broke a leg or something. I'm not sure what the injury was. It wasn't a real hole to him until he fell into it. I had monsters under my bed and in my closet and in every dark space in my house when I was little. That was not true, but it was real for me. I gave myself 10 seconds to get under the covers, and any appendage, anything that was not out of the cover or not under the covers after that 10 seconds was up was free game for whatever monster existed. And they were vicious. And sometimes I would give myself a 9.5, 9.75 just to get up under there. That was real to me, so I reacted to it. So I want to ask you, what's real about God? What is real to you about God? Because all those statements, regardless of whether or not they are true, don't mean anything in your life until they are real. And the prodigal son, he had a good father before he ran away. And he had a good father when he came back. When he came back, the relationship was real. What needs to be made real in your life? What promise is it that you need to have added to your heart and to your spirit? If there is a confession that you need to make, if there is a commitment that needs to begin, if you need to find out once and for all that God is real, we invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.